Let's turn now to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, a section which is known as the Sermon on the Plain, which will become evident as we're going along why it's called that. It's sort of a mini version, if you will, of another important scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, much shorter. In the month of June, I am doing a sermon series, of which this is the first of four. A sermon series called Plain Truth. More on that later. Starting with the 17th verse, listen, a story of Jesus. And we love to tell the story. Now Jesus came down with them, that is the disciples, and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets." Of course, Jesus goes on. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Of course, Jesus' sermon goes on, but the rest is for the weeks that follow. Jubilee. Jubilee. We've heard that word used a lot in the past, but do we use it all that much today? Jubilee, a celebration. Sometimes it's used of the 50th anniversary of something, right? 50 years ago, forgive me for focusing upon you, but somebody's got to toot your horn because I don't think you will. Am I correct? Listen, can you hear the ram's horn? Are you listening with the ears of faith? That's how we hear. Now, to be fair, speaking of jubilees, I'm just wondering, how many marriages do we have here which have hit the 50th year mark? Would you raise your hand? One. Whoa! Look at this. Okay, now how many of those whose spouses have preceded you, stepping forth in God's direction, how many of you celebrated your 50th? Any? Yeah. Okay. I want to recognize those. Listen. Can you hear the ram's horn? Jubilee. You know, last week we celebrated Pentecost. Pentecost, by the way, being the Jewish holy day, which was 50 days after Passover. It was a Jewish celebration. And as we heard last week, the disciples of Jesus were all gathered in Jerusalem, and very interesting things happened on that day. In fact, when we think of Pentecost, we think of the birthday of the church and the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of God's people to become something more than what they were. Pentecost. It's appropriate to link up Pentecost with Jubilee, because Jubilee is not just a 50th year anniversary celebration. You heard the story from earlier in the Bible. Actually, not the story, it was the Torah, the teaching of God. A practice called the Jubilee year, Leviticus chapter 25, a time for that eternal recess button, if you will, to be pressed. You listen to it. Is it appropriate to link that particular scripture with the scripture of Pentecost? Because Pentecost itself was sort of like a reset button being pressed. Pentecost was a leveling field, a leveling of the field, if you will, of God's people. I mean, think about the early church. Its key leaders were not ones you would think ahead of time as being, oh, that one, he's going to be the one who will lead everybody. Or that one, she's gonna step out and, you know, some days she's going to be something really big. That wasn't Pentecost. Pentecost was a time when, well, if you will, reading the story as we have received it, a bunch of backward, if you will, fishermen became the leaders. Not people trained in the law of God, not people who had spent their entire lives in seminary learning about Scripture, being trained into the do's and the don'ts of holy things. Pentecost was a leveling of the playing field. And as we heard last week, I mean, it involved people from all over. And it was, you know, it was as if everybody was on the same plane. And on that plane, and now we're not talking about the kind that your wife flew on this week. Through that plane, God's Spirit blew. And it was a jubilee. In fact, some of the economic stuff that we heard about in that jubilee, the leveling point, you know, about the redeeming of property and stuff like this, those things supposed to be returned, the reset button placed. If you read the story in Acts chapter 2, that's sort of what happened. People shared. If you read the end of Acts chapter 2, you will find that those early believers put all of their incomes into one pot. Everybody gave what they had and shared. That was the beginning of the church. And it was like a jubilee year. And I think that goes on the back of all of this. Now, I thought it was appropriate on a day like today to start out, not with necessarily with the, you know, things pertaining to Pentecost, but going back to the one who was calling forth this jubilee, Jesus. We love the story that tell the story of him, don't we? He lies at the heart of it all. And in Luke's gospel, this, what we just read, this Sermon on the Plain, like in Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, is kind of the root. This is kind of the center of his teaching. In Luke's gospel, the Sermon on the Plain is sort of performing the same thing, though it doesn't include as much information. It begins, like Matthew's sermon, with some beatitudes. But they're beatitudes maybe not as we're used to hearing them. I mean, the beatitudes that we recall from Matthew's gospel talk about poverty of spirit. Whereas here in Luke's gospel, Luke is very down to earth in remembering Jesus saying, "Blessed are the poor." He doesn't go on. This is the heart of it all. And in Luke's gospel has something that Matthew's gospel does not. I mean, this is something that is shared throughout the Bible as well. Oftentimes, if you read in the Old Testament, you will have a section of Beatitudes or blessings. And what follows that, those of you who have paid attention in reading your Old Testament, what follows the blessings? There are the, anyone? The curses, the woes. And in Luke's gospel, he has what Matthew's gospel does not. Now, I'm not sure I like having those woes, but it does speak to truth that we need to pay attention to. How God pays attention to those in need. How God continually levels the playing field. I mean, the early church was not just a spiritual movement, my friends. It was also an economic and a social movement that, you know, completely changed the world. In its very beginning, as the story is both remembered in the Bible and as it is remembered in history, was the story of some less than upper class folks, if you will. Just like in the Old Testament, you have the story of a bunch of slaves set free by God to become the people of God. So in the New Testament, you have the story of a bunch of people who are not maybe considered the best and the brightest, becoming something far more than they ever could have been had things been different. It's a jubilee because God was on the move. And you can't say that things happened because of the brilliance of the initial leaders, because they had all this wisdom, because they were filled with a sense of power that was invested in themselves. No. The story is anything but. If you turn to the Bible, yes, that power, that wisdom is within them, but it's always emphasized that power and that wisdom is something from beyond them. And as if to make that very clear, God always chose not the best and the brightest, but those who maybe were seen by others as lacking. Certainly, Peter, my namesake, was among those. He was the first one to preach. May not have been the world's best sermon if you read the chapter 2, the account of Pentecost, but it was enough for God to be moving. And God continued to move. And so it is to this very day. Pentecostal movements have happened throughout history. You know, the most recent one we think about is happening in the beginning of the last century. What we think of as Pentecostals, you know, holy rollers or whatever you want, or charismatics or whatever. That was just a movement that began in the last century. But it wasn't the only one that's happened throughout history. And the important point to be shared about that Pentecostal movement of the last century is not what it necessarily became, but its initial beginnings. Happening on Azusa Street. They can narrow it down to a particular location in Los Angeles. What made that movement unique was that in that time frame, the early 20th century of our country, that was a great leveling movement which brought together blacks and whites, people of all different races. And what also made it unique as well was the fact that some of the early leaders were women. Of course, eventually that changed within the Pentecostal movement. But that's a beginning. And that's sort of what God does when God moves and presses that reset button. People are empowered to become something more than what they ever were before. Listen. Can you hear the ram's horn? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Jubilee. Yes. You know, as I think of those of you who have made it to the 50-year mark, and I, you know, those of you who may, of us who may not, we still celebrate with you and we rejoice with you. But we realize also that those 50 years, a lot of them weren't very easy, were they? Some of them were pretty difficult. But you got there. We claim through the power of something beyond you. God has been moving in your life, just as God has been moving in each and every one of our lives. The Spirit blows through our midst and strengthens and empowers and leads us on, gives us strength for today, as that one hymn says, and bright hope for tomorrow. Can you hear the ram's horn? Listen. Through the ears of faith. Listen. Listen.